On Robinhood Radio, once again, we welcome Christine Gevaert, who is the founding artistic director of Crescendo, and she's here to talk about their Christmas concert coming up, Bach Circle, Christmas Oratorios, and Contemporary Female Voices.
Thank you for having me.
You're having a holiday concert after the first part of the holiday, because it all starts kind of with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But then on the 28th and 29th, we can expect the concert in both Lime Rock and Great Barrington.
This concert is the big choral orchestral concert that Crescendo presents every year. And as you say, this time it is after Christmas, also during Hanukkah, which is very late this year. But maybe people can come out in between. I don't know how everybody's schedule is. But it is a cast of 40 singers, which includes about 15 professionals in the chorus. And the other, as always, Crescendo amateurs prepare for months for this. And then we have a cast of soloists, national and international. Two of them have international careers. One of them comes from Germany. The other one also comes from Canada. And another one just has relocated to the United States. Actually, there's three of them. And a fine cast of soloists. And for these big concerts, we bring in a period instrument orchestra, Baroque instruments, very festive with brass, with trumpets and timpani. Of course, in the Christian church year, the year-end, the Christmas celebrations are the high point. So it is very uplifting music, whether you are a Christian person or not. As I was saying when I was describing this program, this music just centers on the really most positive aspect of religion, which is the birth of a savior, something, a person that brings light into the world. So these are the subjects that this music illustrates in the most really splendorous way. There is a couple of pieces. Advent is the season where you're expecting the coming of Christ, and it describes the search for and the waiting for this light that's going to come into the world. The Christmas pieces obviously celebrate the birth of Christ, the incarnation of the divine. It's so typical, this phrase, the word was made flesh. And again, whether you believe in the Christian doctrine or not, it is this mystery of something divine becoming human. And I think everybody feels attracted to this concept, or is in one way or other on the search for this fulfillment of transcendence. So I really like to draw these parallels because the music is so connected with what we recognize as good and uplifting in a double sense. It's kind of the beats and the sounds that go to your guts, and then the message and the transcendence of your music reaches you in a different place. So that's what I love about this season. It just brings the opportunity to reach us with this complete package, almost, you would say. And we also have on the program a New Year's cantata, which has a list of petitions of things that are asked, of goodwill and things for the new year, which I think we're all familiar with. When the year end comes, we are starting to review mentally what this year was and what we would like to for the future and especially for the coming year. So it's interesting. This is obviously an old tradition, and the composers, I guess everybody loves Bach. I mean, you can't go wrong with him. He's one of the great, great, great composers. Bach, Handel, Vivaldi, you hear them in the supermarket. And while Bach didn't write the Hallelujah, that it was written by Handel and everybody knows, he's really one of the great ones. And so his big piece, the Christmas Oratorio, one of the cantatas, is in the center of our program. It's also the composer that I personally idolize and has been the guiding light, so to say, in my whole career from being a student to now, and I think will ever be the one composer that I admire the most. And at the same time, I also love and enjoy the music before the era of Bach, which was the first half of the 18th century. So we're bringing also some 17th century music and composers whom Bach himself admired in part and knew. One of them so much that he traveled by foot to see him. It's maybe like a rock star these days, in the way, obviously, without any other communication means that we are so much take for granted nowadays. You had to travel by, and if you were not wealthy, you had to do it by foot. And so he traveled for weeks by foot from where he was in Saxonia to the northern Germany to spend some time with Dietrich Buxtehude, which is more obscure name for people. But anyway, he spent some time with him and admired and learned his composition techniques, and then was invited to take the position, because Buxtehude was older than him. But the position came with a drawback. You had to marry Buxtehude's daughter, and it's apparently said she was pretty ugly. And several composers refused the position because of it came with that assignment. You had to marry the daughter. Bach, at that point, also was still married, and very sadly, when he came back during his extended stay that he extended beyond his time that his employers had allocated for him to do this, so he not only expanded that time, his wife had died. So it's quite the story about how musicians function and how much they were willing to give up to learn from a great master. It's just quite the lesson for us nowadays, where you want to learn something, you go on YouTube and you click and you get four versions of the piece, and then you say, oh, this is how I like it best. And you have it, and you don't even get out of your chair. And look what they sacrificed back then.
Yeah, well, music is the one thing that I think is, everyone loves music, regardless of what kind. It's something that, you know, binds everybody together, I think, today. It's a common language, if you will. And it's interesting to hear the history lesson here of what extents they'll go through to get to the music that appeals to their heart. So
right, and it was important for him to learn and to further his career, so that too, I mean, that we are aware people do great sacrifices to further the careers, but also he chose this path, and he recognized who was really a great master and was willing to go, literally to go the extra mile for it. So, that's the story. So I like also the idea of the circle, because we always think there are these great figures in history, but nobody gets anywhere without the predecessors, the people around you, and also the legacy that you pass on. There's one composer on the program that directly was the student of Georg Philipp Telemann, who was the godfather of Bach's most talented and eldest son. So he was in Bach's circle. He wasn't a direct student of him, but he was a student of his colleague and, the godfather of his child. So, and his name is also very unknown, Jeremias Dugrein. I mean, if you're not a music specialist, you would never have heard that name. And it's fun to show this music, too, in our concerts, where people get their, so to say, their Bach fix of the familiar and beloved composer, and then you will get to hear other music that's actually mostly equally great, different, and just doesn't get performed very much or not at all.
And that's why we have crescendo, so that they can share this music with everyone. So as we're talking into the holiday season, in the middle of this, you have an opportunity to go and absorb all this music, which you can do on December 28th, which is a Saturday at 4 p.m. at the Trinity Church in Lime Rock, Connecticut, or on Sunday, December 29th at 4 p.m. at St. James Place at 352 Main Street in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Now, tell us how we get tickets.
Yes, so you can get tickets. Best would be to get them online at our website, which is crescendomusic.org. And crescendo is a bit of a funny word to spell. It's C-R-E-S-C-E-N-D-O, crescendo music, like you spell music, all in one word, and then .org. There you find the online ticket link. We always leave a contingent of tickets to sell at the door. So there will be tickets at the door, each concert starting 45 minutes before concert begins. So at 3:15, the box office opens. On occasion, they've sold out. We never know beforehand. So if you want to rely and make up your mind very last minute, you've got to be there early. Don't wait till the last minute, especially Trinity Church. It's a smaller venue. It's so lovely and charming. So I recommend, yes, there are tickets at the door, but make your way there early. Sometimes these festive concerts end up selling out. We can't quite tell yet now. They're selling well, but we don't know yet.
We thank you so much, Christine. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I always learn something, and you always point us to the best music.
I hope to see you all, many of you, at the concerts, and thank you again for having us.
Yes, and happy holidays and a happy new year.
Happy to you as well and yours.